I have to clear the vocal cords.
All right, we're preparing for the episode. Okay. Caitlin's coming in a little sick today, so keep your expectations low.
Yeah, wherever the weather is, I am under it.
Welcome to On the Same Page Podcast.
Hello, readers. Welcome to our book club where we read into all of life's issues using our most recent reads. Whether you're here to learn about life, get some book recommendations, or talk about your favorite books, this is the place for you. This is Elena.
And this is Caitlin. Today's episode is Learning to Love Yourself with Someone Who Will Love You in All Your Damaged Glory by Raphael Bob Waksberg. The process of learning to love yourself is never finished. It takes time to grow your confidence, and many challenges are faced along the way.
Raphael Bob Waksberg documents this process through his short stories on a variety of topics. It's time to dig in as Someone Who Will Love You in All Your Damaged Glory, so sit back, grab your book, and let's get on the same page. For those of you who haven't read yet, we'll break down everything you need to know for today's episode. All right, Caitlin, let's get into it.
I'm in it. Are you in it?
I've already been in it. All right. So, little synopsis for you guys.
So, if any of you guys are fans of Mr. BoJack Horseman, so Raphael, our boy Raphael, he is, the director?
He's creator of
BoJack Horseman. And it's kind of, I felt like I saw a lot of similarities between that show and this book in the sense that, the way it kind of takes a very silly approach and not that serious approach to some deeper topics, more emotional topics.
I think throughout this book, there's a lot of so that if you haven't read it, to make a little more sense. This book is filled with a variety of short stories, but there are also stories in the form of poetry, like Reddit posts, like misconnections posts. Rules for a game, lists, various things that are often...
It's not, just a traditional, short story. There's, many different, forms, which I think, honestly, I enjoyed that. It was interesting to read, and it was, kind of more artistic in that sense.
Yeah, I think, so it sort of is meant to mimic a stream of consciousness, these stories. They're supposed to kind of show a deeper... thought that people have that they don't really talk about. So each story shows a different aspect of life that people don't really discuss, but a lot of people go through and know what it feels like.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very raw and, true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of the stuff that just, people just don't talk about in life, because it got me thinking just, about, how weird our behaviors are as humans sometimes, just kind of seeing it written down, especially the way we act in relationships. It really highlights that, some of the lies that we tell each other, and when you see it written down, you're like, oh, that looks so ridiculous, but then you're just like, that happens so often. And I feel like it just is how stupid some things look. And
he really highlighted a lot of things that we don't want to, admit about ourselves, that feelings we have that we kind of hide under the surface, or things that happen that you don't even notice you're feeling a certain way.
Because we're always trying to, project ourselves as a certain way, and in doing so, a lot of the times, we push down some of these, feelings and some of the ways that we, act, and we don't, really recognize them, because we view them as, being, stupid or childish, or... I don't know. I just thought it was, interesting to, see this all, written out.
Moving on. So, now that everyone is caught up, let's get into our thoughts and opinions. First question, Caitlin. Did you like Someone Who Will Love You in All Your Damaged Glory.
I actually really liked it. I think I already said it, like, I don't know, I like the concept and basically how it takes some deeper topics and topics that, like, we don't talk about as much and we often, like, view as topics we view as, like, being, like, weird or just, like, oh, I can't talk about that. Like, what? No? Like, and it kind of, it not, like, just brings them to light, but brings them to light in, like, kind of more humorous manner. Mm-hmm. And it kind of just, like, makes you reflect back, like, on a lot of things. And it makes you think. And it makes you, like, look at yourself and the relation, like, your own relationships and stuff. And I thought that was good. There's, like, a bunch of, like, quotes that I underlined here and there that kind of, like, spoke to me. Lainey, what about you?
What are you feeling? I liked it. I think I actually liked it more than... Everything I Know About Love.
By Dolly Alderton. Episode one, baby!
Yeah. Reflecting back, which if you listen to that, you obviously know what that's about. But if you didn't listen to, like, kind of catch you up, that was a memoir. Similar in the sense that it had a lot of life lessons, a lot of those dodging into, like, relationships. But I think that this, I actually prefer, rather than someone directly trying to give me advice, I prefer someone hiding it within work.
Yeah, because it was, like, I guess with her, it was, like, she was directly giving the reader advice, but it was, in this, it was, like, different characters and everything, learning lessons and everything, like, it wasn't directed, like, at the reader. Obviously, it was directed at the reader, like, the reader's meant to learn lessons and everything, but the characters were the ones going through experiences and learning lessons and being taught things, and the reader kind of got to pick out the parts that really, like, spoke to them. And with the Dolly Alderton one, there were, like, more direct lessons that were, like, directed right at the reader.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is what I learned, and it was, like, from author to reader. But in this one, it was, like, the characters were the medium in between.
Yeah.
So you kind of got to pick out the lessons that, which I already kind of said, but, like, you pick out the lessons that spoke to you most and resonated with you most. Like, those are the ones that you kind of, like, at least for me, like, I went away from this book being, like, okay, like, those are the lessons I choose to pick.
Yeah.
Like.
But I don't even think, like, Caitlin and I were kind of going through the book before recording this, but we both had picked out completely different lessons that we related to or liked, and I think that I read parts that she had picked lessons from, and maybe we didn't read the whole book. I don't know, guys, that's hearsay. You didn't hear hearsay. It from me. I read parts of where Caitlin got the things that she's talking about from, and some of those things I didn't even notice until she told me about them, because they didn't, like, mean anything to me. They just were words on paper. But then other things I took to heart, so.
Yeah. And,
yeah,
like, right back at you, like, there were some things that you, like, picked out that I was just like, oh, like, that's what you got from that? Not in, like, a bad way, but just, like...
Oh, thanks.
Oh, like...
Gee, thanks. No, I'm kidding.
Just, like, I don't know. I thought it was, like, funny, like, how we, like, honed in on different things and, like, how, like, I overlooked something that, like, really, like, meant something to you, and, like, how you would look over something that, oh, that really, that dug deep for me.
So now is our little section for quotes. So we're going to go through and talk about all the quotes we picked out and kind of give you guys a little bit of life lessons and some takeaways through our interpretation.
All right, we can just start, like, right at the beginning. So it opens up with, like, a little short story. And the main, like, takeaway, I guess, from that is it's a metaphor about one of those, like, we all know, like, those, like, fake prank cashew containers or the nut containers.
It's not even a fake prank one, Caitlin.
Well, it could be. But that's the thing. You gotta use it.
It's a cashew container, like a cashew container.
It might be a prank one.
Cashews at the store, but you don't know if there's cashews inside.
Yeah, because it's like one of the ones where it's like you open it up and like something pops out at you. So it's basically like, how, like, yeah, it's one of those containers, and it's like, okay, well, it could be cashews, or it could be the prank one. So that's the whole, like, metaphor type situation going on. So, Lane, why don't you...
You want me to get, take it away?
Take the reins?
All right. Well, first thing I said doesn't even have to do with this analogy, but first thing I said was, so it's kind of an... The analogy also connects to the fact that this girl is on a date with this guy, and she's trying to figure out if she likes him or not, and is kind of scared to open up to him because she doesn't know if, like, this cashew container, he's genuine and real, or if he's only going to hurt her and cause her harm. So, essentially, she opens it up by realizing she likes him. It says she likes him, she decides. He's the kind of guy you could introduce to your friends, she decides. Well, that kind of comes off to me as wrong from the start, because I always say this to Caitlin, because, you know, I like to say, I'm a queen with high standards, you know? I like to say that. So, I said, maybe this is the bare minimum. Like, the whole idea of, like, oh, she likes him. Like, she decides, she sees him, and she's like, oh, he turned out, he's, like, the same guy he kind of claimed to be on the website. Like, he looks real from the outside, so I'm gonna decide that I like him. I don't think we, like, need to give people that right away. Like, I like to take a long time and decide if I like someone. I don't want to rush anything. Alright, I'm moving past that topic. I need to get off that rant. So, second page goes, look, if you open this can and a pretend snake jumps out at you, then you have my permission to never trust me again. But why would you want to miss out on the opportunity to eat delicious salted cashews just because of the slight off chance that this is all an elaborate ruse to make you appear foolish? So that meant something. It resonated with me.
Same.
Because it represented how we skip out on opportunities because of fear. And I think, you know, in every situation you're in, especially when creating relationships with people, depending on your past relationships, a lot of time when finding friends or romantic interests, like, we a lot of times go into things and we're like, oh, I have a lot of hesitations because of my past experiences and how I've been hurt before. And I think a lot, like, they are relating it in this to with, like, dating people. But I think it also happens with friendships. Something ends poorly, and then the next time you want to make a friend, you're like, I can't make a friend who has this quality because my last friend
who closed yourself hurt off me to a lot of things.
Had this quality. So we close ourselves off to stuff. But
and we let the experiences we have with people and the relationships we've had before and those qualities define how our future relationships are going to go. If we start to see similarities between an experience like we're currently going through, like it, developing a new relationship, we start to see similarities between like this one and an old relationship, and immediately we start thinking of like, okay, so it's becoming that relationship, when in actuality it's not becoming that relationship. This one is its own entity. It's its own experience. Just because there are similarities, like, and there is the possibility that it could end or some things could happen the way it did in the past relationship, that doesn't mean they're going to. Just because you had one experience that went a certain direction doesn't mean every similar experience you have is going to go that direction.
Yeah.
Like, you're allowed to be, like, hesitant, and you're allowed to be, like, not, like, you don't have to be naive in the sense that you can just, like, completely ignore that, like, there's the possibility for you to get hurt. Like, you can't just completely ignore that there's a possibility that the snake is going to jump out of the cashews. However, you can't let that just not let you open the cashews because, like, look what it says, like, where is it? Look, if, but why would you want to miss out on the opportunity to eat delicious salted cashews just because of the slight off chance that this is all an elaborate ruse to make you appear foolish?
I think the main point is your past experiences don't define you, and you can't let them define your future experiences, because just because something has failed for you in the past doesn't mean that you need to, like,
you can fully... be conscious of it, but, like, don't let it hold you back. Yes. And don't let it, don't miss out on things in life just because, like, you, because, I mean, it's the truth. Like, if you hold yourself back from experiencing things and you're constantly, like, hyper aware of all of the little things that like are signaling that one relationship that you're in or experience that you're in is like going to like be like one of the past ones, like that's, I mean, just constantly looking for that and being like hyper aware, like that's no way to live life. You're just going to keep holding yourself back. You're never going to move anywhere, because mm-hmm. if you just, at the end of the day, like if you just sit there and you don't open the can of cashews, like you're never going to know if it's a snake or not.
Yeah.
Like, you're never going to know if it's the cashews or the snake. So you just, like, eventually you have to move on, and you have to not close yourself off.
That kind of goes with anything in life. Like, we can't close ourselves off to things just because of fear that they're not going to go the way we plan for them to go. Mm-hmm. And also, things are always going to fail. You're going to have multiple failed relationships in your life with anyone. It could be an employer, it could be a friend, it could be someone you're dating, like literally anyone. You're gonna have failed relationships with people, so
don't be,
that's all yeah. part of the life experience. So I think and those are all like learning lessons.
Mm-hmm.
So, and sometimes we always say like, oh, I learned from this person not to trust someone who does this the next time, but we can't judge someone by, like, their similarity to someone else, because...
just you can't because... let things, like, just constantly you can't let your experiences just constantly, like, reaffirm your, like, doubts or your misconceptions or your beliefs. You can't let your negative experiences just constantly, like, reaffirm that. You have to look at things, like, as... I guess, like, individual experiences in the sense, like, that, like, okay, like, even though these two experiences are similar in some way, like, you have to look at them as, like, different experiences, and that it's, they're not, just because there's some similarities, like, they're not going to necessarily play out the same exact way.
Okay, so, the next thing that we both read was this little thing called short stories, and it was basically just, like, oh, yeah. Little short,
like, anecdotes. Bullet points, like two sentences, sentence type thing.
With just like little ideas. So the first one that like Caitlin and I both found was she loved it. Occurred to her that she loved the idea of being in a relationship more than she loved any person she'd actually been in a relationship with, and I think a lot of times we spend so much time, like, fantasizing. And, I mean, this might not be a universal experience, but I know at least a lot of people go through this. You spend so much time fantasizing about people before you, like, kind of get into a mm-hmm. relationship with them.
Yeah.
Again, literally could be, like, a friendship. Like, oftentimes, like, we see these people, whether it's people we go to school with, people we work with, whatever. We see these people and we're like, oh my gosh, I want to get to know them. I want to be them. I want to be with them. Blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah.
So we just start creating. We start creating them in our head. Like, as soon as we see, like, this person or this, like, the idea of this person, whatever, like, you start creating and building off of that in your head. And essentially creating this fake person. And, yeah.
Well, I also think this goes, well, this is mainly talking about, like, the idea of being in a relationship in general, but also, we build that idea up so much in our heads. Everyone is like, I feel like a lot of girls, especially with the social media nowadays, and, like, mm-hmm. there's TikTok, and
definitely.
It's like, so you'll see someone posted, oh, me and my boyfriend went, you know, here for Christmas, and we baked Christmas cookies together and all this stuff.
Especially,
and
so, like, the aesthetic little Pinteresty relationships.
Yes.
That you're just like, that's just, like, so cute, that's not real. Like,
yeah. But in your head, in the moment, you're thinking, like, how this is real.
You're like, how is this real? Like, you're just thinking, you're like, this actually exists out there? Like, there's this cutesy little, like, matching PJs, making cookies, the snow in the fireplace, and then making a gingerbread house.
the idea of something always is better than the actual reality of something. And I think,
because that's not real. Because also, like, when you bring in the whole, like, social media aspect of it, and, like, because I think a lot of, like, where we get, like, the ideas of, like, one, like, the people that we create in our heads and, like, the relationships we create in our heads, like, a lot of that, I think, does kind of stem from social media, mm-hmm. just because people are constantly posting about, like, relationships and everything, like, that they have. But they're only posting, like, the good parts. Nobody's posting, like, oh, I just got in a fight with my boyfriend. Oh, like, I just did this. I just did that. Like, they're only posting the cute stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, when, like, you, in reality, that's not how relationships are 100% of the time. Like, mm-hmm. that's just not. There's never been a relationship like that. Like, so, you create that sense that that's what a relationship should look like and how it should play out in your head. So then when you actually have real life relationships, you're constantly looking and you're just like, you get like imposter syndrome. You're just like, this isn't what it's supposed
to,
like,
this is not all it was made out to be.
Yeah. Like, but in reality, like, it is, like, nobody's sharing the good, like, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
They're only sharing, like,
the good
and the cute parts. And, mm-hmm. you just need to, like, be careful of the images, like, you're creating of people and your expectations. Because when you constantly are, like, living in your head and creating, like, fake scenarios and all of that, like, you're just giving yourself the false, like, false hope and the false idea that that's going to happen. And not to be a pessimist, like, you are going to have moments like that, but you're just ultimately setting yourself up for disappointment,
mm-hmm.
because, and every relationship you go into, if you're expecting that and you have your expectations up there, and you, whenever you expect a person to behave a way that you have created in your head, I'm sorry, you're setting yourself up to be disappointed or for failure, because people, we are all our own conscious beings. We all, like, you can't accurately to a T predict how somebody's going to behave. So creating a person and creating the idea of this person, like, it's useless, because you can't accurately, like, that idea is going to be fake. That's not, like, obtainable.
Yeah.
Anyways, that was my little spiel.
Yeah, don't get into any relationship to fill a void that you have, because it's never going to fill the void. The next thing I wrote, or I quoted, was, he was working on a system mm-hmm. where eventually he wouldn't have to trust anybody. In life, we have to...
I think that goes back to the cashew as well.
Yes, we have to allow ourselves to heal from our past experiences, because in life, you do have to trust people, and no matter how many times you've been hurt, you can't escape from that fact. Like, we always want to say, oh, I want to be self-reliant, but trying to be self-reliant eventually is always going to fail, or end up you being lonely, because you were like, oh, I don't need friends, I'm fine, I don't need anyone, I'm good. It doesn't...
Well, the whole thing with trust, though, is just like, yes, you are risking a lot, and it's scary. However, it's risk and reward. When it pays off, like, it's so nice. Like, when you think about all the people in your life that you trust, mm-hmm. like, it's honestly, it's, like, such a good feeling, like, that you have all of this, like, you have a support system, and you have these people to rely on, and you have people that you love, and you trust them. And you, again, like, you can't let a couple bad experiences with trust and people betraying your trust, you can't let those couple experiences be like, okay, well, I'm not going to just trust anybody, because then you're also giving up on all of the good things that trust has given mm-hmm. you, like, the good relationships and the good experiences. And that's, like Lainey just said, like, that's a very, like, you're not going to have anybody in life. Like, that's a very lonely life to live, and not trusting anyone,
mm-hmm.
because, like, that's, I mean, you're literally living in solitary confinement at that point.
Then I had, I never thought I could be this happy, she imagined one day saying to someone. That goes back to the thing we were just saying about relationships, but everything is better in the eye of the beholder. And in life, again, like I was saying about the relationship thing with the what was that quote again? Oh, like, she loved the idea of being in a relationship. We love the idea of so many different things. But we need to just live in the present and not be, like, imagining our future. Which goes on another quote that I have. She loved the idea of her husband and children and all of her friends and her job and her life. She loved the idea of everything. We spend so much of our young years thinking about the future and, like, even with the games we play, especially girls, but the games you play when you're younger, like,
you have house,
family, like, house, teacher. You have, like, the games where you play, like, with American Girl dolls or Barbies, and you're like creating fake situations
adult
with adults, and you're, like, imagining, like, relationships with people, and you're imagining...
You create just all these fantasies, like...
And you spend your whole life being like, oh, when I get older, I want to live... I want to have a house at the beach, and I want to have a house in the mountains, and I want to have a house in the desert, and I want to spend my weekends in Lake Tahoe with my friends. And these are all things that I used to tell myself growing up. I was like, I'm going to be this girl that has this money to support her family and is able to do all that she loves. And I don't mean to ruin life for you, but in reality, that's not how...
You gotta be realistic.
You have... That's not how,
like,
life
everybody
typically
thinks
is.
They're living in a mansion with, like, all of the dogs that they want and eating dessert for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Like, everybody, like, thinks that when they're a kid. But, like, you gotta be realistic. Again, with, like, the whole, like, with, like, the whole
but,
idea of everything. Just,
like, the idea of her husband and children and all her friends and her job and her life. I think at the end of the day, we can't, just because we have this huge idea, A, try not to have that idea, because you don't want to ruin what you actually will end up having for yourself.
You don't want to give yourself false expectations, because that's what it is giving you. Like, when you just come up with all of these, like, it's okay to have goals, like, obviously, like, have goals, and if it's your, like, goal to be able to, like, buy a nice house and support yourself, and, like, it's okay to have goals, but don't think of it as if it's just a given that that's going to happen, because then you're constantly going to be waiting for that to happen, and the actuality that that exact scenario that you have made in your head and that fantasy is going to happen, slim to none. Like, that's just not how the real world works, which sucks, but, like, that's just the way the cookie crumbles sometimes.
Yeah. And I don't even think about you. He couldn't wait to tell her just as soon as she called him back. And with this, I wrote, like, it's okay to show you are hurt by someone. I think so many times with relationships ending, again, like, whether it's a friendship or, like, a romantic relationship, we tell ourselves, like, oh, I can't wait to show them that I've healed. Well, if you're saying to yourself, I can't wait to show them that I've healed, you haven't actually healed, because you're still trying to prove to them that you're better off than they are, which means that you haven't fully healed.
I just think
healed.
It all stems, like, we're just so scared of being vulnerable with, like, other people, and we just, so when we get hurt, we're just like, oh my gosh, we have to show them, like, oh, you didn't hurt me, like, the whole, like, oh, I don't even think about you, but, like, you're constantly thinking of, like, oh my gosh, like, I'll show her.
Moving on to the next fact, this is the last one on this page. Ooh, Caitlin, this is getting... We're so tangenting today. Okay. Sometimes
so
he could go a full hour without ever once being suddenly reminded of the paralyzing truth that his life was finite and unrepeatable. I think...
God, I could go on for this for, like, an hour.
Yeah, you can, because...
I know. Sometimes, like, when you do really, like, sit and think about it, because this does, like, I do think about this, like, all the time, that, like, how just, like, short life is, and how, like, every experience I've had, like, I'll never be able to have again. When you really think about it, like, every experience you have, you will never be able to have again. Even, like, yes, like, I go to school every day, like, I have that experience every day, but it's not exactly the same. You're never going to have the same experience again, and I cannot stress that enough. Like,
That's why, again, you have to take all the experiences that you can have. You have to
seize the day.
You have to seize
carpe diem, as Robin Williams once said.
All right.
Carpe diem.
We're not bringing up Dead Poets Society right now.
Oh, I am always bringing up Dead Poets Society. But just, like, when you think about that, like, yes, it can be scary when you, like, to some people, like, yes, it can be scary when you're just like, oh my gosh, life is so short. I've wasted so much time. Oh my gosh, like, I'm never going to be able to have those experiences. But, like, don't think about it like that. Like, you cannot think about it like all I have is my future experiences. I have to take every little, I have to take every ounce of experience I can get and from this experience. Just think about that. Just think about life as trying to get, just, like, squeeze out all of the experience you can from your experiences. Like, you're squeezed in a lemon, and you just keep going back for more. And there's always a little juice left. There's always a little juice left in your lemons. Like,
yeah.
Just keep, like, just think about, like, how trying to live life to the fullest, I guess.
I also think with that, like, this is, like, a thought I've had recently, but so often, and this is just a separate tangent, but so often every day we, like, are doing stuff, and then say you don't wake up at the time that you meant to wake up, and by the time you wake up it's 11:30 and you're like, oh my gosh,
the
day is ruined.
I can't do it now.
Over. I'm done for. Okay, it's 11:30. What time are you gonna go to bed? 11:30 at night, you still have 8 hours, right?
Well, even if
is
you have
8 hours, whatever,
I don't know, if you even have just 1 hour, like, I do it all the time. Like, I was like, okay, I'm gonna start my homework at 6:30, and I look at the clock, and it's 6:32. Oh my gosh, I have to wait until 6:45 now. No, you don't.
You don't. Just start.
You just have to do it. You just have to, again, carpe diem, seize the day.
Yeah, and this ties into a story that's at the end of the book, but it was about people looking forward to this certain moment. And saying every other night will have been a rehearsal for the Friday, the 18th of July. We had to be ready. Everything was pushing us in perceptibly toward this moment. Which, that kind of goes with the idea of, like, everything pushes us to each moment in life. And so, again, carpe diem. Take all the experience. Everything is pushing you towards something, so do not reject it. Just take it. Like, okay.
Yeah, like, then, don't try to swim against the current. Let the current take you out.
And then it says at the end, a thing that happened once and never again. Every day in history happens once, and it's never going to happen again. So live it up. But also, think about that and be like, everything that's happened doesn't mean that's going to happen again. That goes with the... You've had a bad experience. Bad experiences are one day in your life. Or, say, whatever. They're a time in your life.
They're once just a period
done,
in your life.
It's done. So, just move on and grow.
Period.
Now, since I have a quote, I'll just say it. So, I want to believe our love is special. This is about a random story, but I'm just going to read the quote and then go off the quote. I want to believe our love is special, that it's bigger and more interesting than any love that anyone else had ever had before. Mm. But the heartbreaking truth is my love for you is so consistent and predictable and boring. So often in life, again, imagining relationships, we imagine that relationships are always supposed to be these big things. And often you think, oh, you're getting into, like, a relationship and you're like, oh, it's supposed to be this big, magical love, like... We're constantly supposed to be head over heels for each other, whatever. And I think so often people don't realize about relationships. The best relationships, the realest relationships, are often boring. And that often goes with friends, too. Like, I will hang out with Caitlin, like, per se.
After the honeymoon period. Like,
yeah.
You're not going to be in the honeymoon period for forever.
No. But, say, I'll hang out with Caitlin, and sometimes we won't even really do anything. But it's the fact that being together is what... like, makes it a good experience, because mm-hmm. we just want to hang out.
Even if we're just, like, sitting in the car driving, like, not even talking, just, like, the proximity is, like, the thing that, like, that's...
It's important. But mm-hmm. often we think, like, you know, these experiences, like, these relationships are supposed to be these big things that are constantly, like, oh my gosh, I love you so much, and all these things. No.
These acts,
real love,
just, like,
real friendship...
Yeah,
like... are... not all these big acts all the time, all these gifts, all these, oh, they're bringing me flowers, oh, they bought me whatever. it's supposed to be, like, the small things that are important, and, yeah, real love is not always big, bold, magical.
Well, you can always take, I feel like a lot with, like, this whole short story, a lot of the thing is, like, with, like, the couple looking at, like, and comparing their relationship to, like, those around them and everything, and, like, what other people have to say, and them, like, like feeling like their relationship is not valid or enough because it doesn't match this one standard of what a relationship should look like. And I just feel like that it should feel like it should feel easy. You should not expect your relationship to look like the bits and pieces of relationships you've observed around mm-hmm. you, because you are not seeing somebody's entire relationship. You are just seeing parts of it, again, with the social media. Like, you are only seeing parts of it. So you cannot expect your entire relationship as a whole to look and to mirror this person's relationship when you've only seen one picture that they've posted, or when you've only seen, like, one part of it. You're not seeing all the behind the scenes. You're not seeing every little moment. So you can't expect your best parts to necessarily look like their best parts, or your best, like, your constant to look like their best parts, because you think that's their constant. Because it's not. Nobody's relationship is constantly perfect, so you can't, you can't expect it to, you can't expect yours to look like that and be like, okay, well, this person, like, they posted a picture of them doing this, like, their relationship, it's, that's not true. Yeah. For this one. Oh, a quote that I liked, that I just thought was, like, so cute. He says, I could live to be 100 and it would still be the loveliest thing I had ever seen. And it's him looking at her when she's, like, walking up to the altar.
Oh, that's so cute.
Mm. Just, and then in this moment, I think this is the best possible way to have a wedding, because it's the kind of wedding where it's, where while it's happening, I get to marry Dorothy. And basically, the whole thing is, like, okay, nothing else at this wedding matters, because, like, I just get to marry this one person, and, like, everything can go wrong. And, like, everything kind of does go wrong, yet it's, like, it's okay.
I think that's when you know you have a good relationship, too, is, like, you get through everything, and you realize that the most important part of all that is that you have someone alongside you for all of it. The next thing is, like, a little bit of a misconnection. So it's kind of a story of seeing someone and not talking to them and, like, constantly looking at each other.
These people, like, on a subway. Like, riding the same subway.
Yeah.
But it's, like, the internal monologue of this one person.
Yeah. So the main idea of it to me was, you miss your chances when you don't act on what you feel, because he stares at this girl for so long and he never says anything to her.
Well, it says, like, at the very end, like, and I thought about how amazing it is that you can know somebody for 60 years and yet still not really know that person at all. Like, this went on 60 years of them writing the same thing and them, like, him thinking all these things but never actually saying anything. So, like, the relationship never actually, like, started or got anywhere. Anyways, continue.
Again, carpe diem. Just do it. So,
life's too short to not say the things you want to people.
Yeah.
Because that's, like, a lot of what makes life so important and special is the relationships we make with people, like, we create with people. It's just not worth it to, like, miss out on that just because you're too scared to say something. Just because you're like, oh, what if they think I'm weird? Or what if they blah, blah, blah. Like, life's too short. Just go for it. Like, it doesn't actually matter.
Anyway. Yeah. So, this little line says, I fell in love with you a little bit in that stupid way where you completely make up a fictional person and the person you're looking at and fall in love with that person. I don't really want to go off on a tangent about this because...
We kind of already did
in the beginning, but, like, we make up these ideas of what people are like in our head, and that almost, like, that kind of almost ruins it. It's like
self-sabotage.
Yeah.
Like, it ruins it for you because, like, you fall in love with the person in your head, obviously, because they're perfect. They're, like, so you're not actually ever going to, like, necessarily fall in love with somebody the way you are going to love the idea of someone you create. Because people are people are individual beings. They're not just a little stream of your consciousness.
Yep. All right.
Anyways, I feel like that's, like, the big thing. Yeah, just, like, basically they went and they sat and they didn't speak and kept on thinking, like, oh, like, today I'll talk to her, or, like, after this, or then, and constantly procrastinating it, and which it never actually happened.
I think that happens. That
just goes back to, like, seize the day. Like, life's too short to not take opportunities, because eventually opportunities, they have, like, opportunities don't last. They have
time limits.
They're not going to be there forever, so don't miss an, and you don't know when they're going to go away. So don't miss an opportunity. Always try to take every opportunity you can.
Yeah, but, yeah. Okay. I quoted this thing, what if I was 0% happy and I walked through the door to find that 100% happy still isn't all that happy? And I think I wrote, world is not as it seems, but often, again, eye of the beholder idea, like, everything seems better from the outside.
Yeah, grass is always greener.
Mm-hmm.
And we always, like, tell ourselves, well, I think that also goes with, like, we always tell ourselves, like, well, if, like, all of these, like, what's it called, like, the what ifs of, like, yeah, well, if only, like, if only I was this, like, had this, this, and this, like,
I would kind be of happy.
Like, oh, yeah, well, if I was, like, if I was this person, or if I had these opportunities or resources, like, we kind of, like, then I could do this. But, yeah, it's just, like, grass is not always greener. Like, don't fantasize about, like, again, like, the 100% happy. Like, if you don't, just focus on you in that moment, not,
maximize your opportunities. Yeah. Be as happy as you can be, but also, in that moment. Yeah. This is, like, a big one that Kate and I both agreed on, but a statue isn't built from the ground up. It's chiseled out of a block of marble. And I often wonder if we aren't likewise shaped by the qualities we lack, outlined by the empty space where the marble used to be. I'll be sitting on a train. I'll be lying awake in bed. I'll be watching a movie. I'll be laughing. And then, all of a sudden, I'll be struck by the paralyzing truth. It's not what we do that makes us who we are. It's what we don't do that defines us.
I love that.
Do I have that much to add to it? Not really.
I think it's just so beautifully, like, I said, honestly, yeah. I think that is so beautifully said that I don't have much to add to it. Just, like,
yeah,
just, it's something to think about. So, go, if you have your books out, go turn to page 60 and go look at that and just sit and think. Yep. Maybe tonight when you're in bed, just sit, look at the ceiling and think about that a little bit. Cause that's what I did. And I don't know if, like, I don't think I can expand on that. I just,
yeah. So lies we told each other. So this is like a partial list, and it starts with, you look really familiar. Have I seen you somewhere before? Ending with, I love you. And it's all lies that we have said to someone.
It's like a bulleted list.
Starting with, you look really familiar. Have you seen you somewhere before? This, like, reading this first one, a lot of these are things that you often don't even realize when you're thinking about it. Like, you're saying it to someone,
you don't think of them as honest, lies,
but it's a lie. And so many times we meet someone that maybe we've, like, been planning to meet and we've been scared to meet, and we come up to them and we're like, oh, like, who are you? Like, it's so nice to meet you. Like, oh, I have no idea, acting as if you have no idea who they are, when in all reality, sometimes you know where they live. Like, you stalk their Zillow. Like, like, come on now. So many times we meet people and we're like, oh my gosh, like, I have no clue who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you're going on a first date. Maybe you're meeting someone at, like, for a job interview or whatever, and you've looked at their LinkedIn profile for an hour or their Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't lie to yourself, guys. Just be, like, honest. It's
life,
okay,
is, again, I know with the whole life is too short stuff, like, you're gonna be like, oh my god, can this girl just shut up? But, like, life is too short to not just authentically be yourself.
Yeah, don't, like, be scared.
Like, it's just the little things. A lot of this list is just, like, the little things that you don't actually think of as, like, lies. Like, but they build up, and that's, yeah, the whole thing. Like, they build up. It, like, starts with, like, the little things, and it ends with the last two bullet points are, it's like, I love you, and then I love you too. Like, it builds up until, like, eventually you're just, like, a flat-out liar. Just, there's no point in the little lies. Like, just authentically be yourself.
Otherwise, like, saying, I gotta get up early in the morning. I have this thing for work. I'm sorry I didn't call you. Things have been crazy.
Just say, like, okay, I'm sorry I fell asleep. Like, oh, I don't want to talk. Like, you don't have to be just, like, a mean making person. Making excuses. But, like, the whole, like, pretending you missed somebody's, like, call, like,
oh. When you didn't? Like, just be like, I'm sorry.
Because I know I can call myself out right now. There have been times where I've seen my phone ring. And I've just like, not done it. And then
talking right
and
now.
And then they text and they're and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I was eating dinner or like some like, oh, I missed this. I was talking to my grandma, like stuff like that. Like yeah, like it's not that big of a deal. Like that's a little white lie. Like, does it hurt anyone? No. But just like there's no need to just not authentic. Like, it's okay to just tell the truth sometimes and just be like, oh hey, like sorry, like I don't want to talk. And I think we should all become a little bit less, like, a little more, desensitized about that and constantly trying to, like, coddle people's feelings and constantly trying to, like, make people feel better is, like, you don't have to, like, I don't have to be, like, Lainey, I think your hair sucks. Like, that's just straight up mean. Like, but I don't know. Like, I think it's useless to, like, kind of, like, sit here and, like, lie to somebody about, like, some things like, oh, I missed your phone call, or like, oh, I'm sorry, like I can't hang out today, I have to do this, or like, oh, my mom said I can't go.
We use our moms as excuses all the time. I know you won't do it. You're like, oh, my mom said.
Everybody's texted their mom and said, like, mom, can you please text me that I can't have a sleepover with so-and-so tonight? I don't want to have a just say you don't want, like, just say, like, oh, sorry,
not
like,
tonight.
Just like, I'm not feeling it tonight. And I think we all need to get used to, like, and that shouldn't hurt, like, because everybody understands, like, that shouldn't hurt your feelings if somebody's like, oh, sorry, I don't want to really have a sleepover tonight. Like, we're all human. We all just, like, kind of reach our breaking points now and then. Like, it's okay.
That is okay, yeah.
Anyways, so the thing I had here was, so it says, fact, the things that are the most important aren't shared. They are important only to us. And then, it kind of goes on to talk about, like an example of this, like, two people, like a kiss, or, like, a moment between, like, two people. And then it says, even that shared experience, its true significance anyways, what it really means, that belongs to you alone. So I think that's really, really important, especially, like, when, you go through, like, a breakup or something, or, like, an old relationship, and you start, and you have all of these experiences with that person, and you are, like, look back on those experiences, and you look back on them with a negative light, because you're like, oh my gosh, I went through these experiences with that person, and they're no longer in my life. But, and you look at those experiences as, like, your experiences together, which, yes, that is true. The physical experience, that was together. However, we need to really think, like, the way things make us feel and their importance to us, that is an individual experience on its own. That is something that somebody else does not necessarily experience with you. Like, the way something makes you feel and its importance to you, that is your own. That will always be your own. So hold on. So you can still hold on to the way it made you feel without, like, giving that to the other person.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's kind of really, like, where individual, like, you wouldn't have that individual experience. Like, there's an individual experience within that shared experience. And that individual experience is your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions, all of that stuff. Anyways.
Next thing is, like, with ending relationships, a lot of times we think we're going to get this, like, big closure, and we're going to get what we want out of it, and at the end, we're going to win. There's no winning in ending relationships, and you're never going to get the closure you want. I'm not going to tangent, but that's all. Then, also, a quote I had. You had every intention of being depressed forever, but as it turns out, there's more to be done, meals to eat, movies to see, errands to run. You meant to be in ruins permanently, your misery a monument, a gash across the cold, hard earth, but honestly, who has the time for that? We don't have the time for that. Again, carpe diem. Life moves on. And we do too. So, yes, take the time for yourself to heal. But after that time, allow yourself to get out and start experiencing new things again. And don't close yourself off from things just because you expected to never heal from something.
This is another one. Like, you should have a plan, but don't get your hopes up. The lunch probably isn't going to be this. Again, just we spend so much time living in our heads and creating false, like, giving ourselves false sense of hope and false expectations. For stuff like this, in a literal sense, like, yes, you can have a plan, but you cannot expect it to go 100% according to plan, or even, 50% according to plan, because life, again, we are all our own individual beings, and when dealing with somebody who is their own individual being, you cannot predict how they are going to act. You are not going to predict how a experience or an event is going to play out, because there are so many different factors, and you can't account for every single one of them and create every single scenario that may happen. So yes, you can have a loose plan, but and a loose idea, but you cannot have okay, this is going to be how it goes, because you don't actually know until you are experiencing it.
Yeah.
I have another one with this. Oh, the here's your stuff back lunge again, what more is there to say? The world, it turns out, has continued to exist, and then it kind of goes on, the waters have receded, the fires turned to ash, just again, not to go on my whole existentialism, tangent like I did last time, but the world is going to exist. The world, especially with, breakups and stuff, the world existed before, and the world is going to exist after. With everything, with every experience you've had in your life, the world has existed before, and the world has existed after. That is not going to change. So, yes, something, I think it's, Drake who said it or something like that. The end of a world is not the end of the world. So,
yeah.
While... I think it was Drake. I don't know. Maybe. Somebody can look it up. I don't know. But just the end of one experience or one relationship, whatever, that is not your entire world. That is not the entire, the entire world. So even though it ends, there is still a life to live. There are still experiences to be had. Again, the world existed before, it's going to exist after. The things that happen to us, they aren't as big of a deal as we always make them out to be. We are living on a rock in space. Anyways, I'm not gonna go off. Anyways, Lainey, I know you have some stuff pulled up.
Last two things I have, because we need to round this off, but...
Oh, yeah.
And I thought about how, actually, if you wanted to, you could say the same thing about life. That life is terrifying and overwhelming, and it can happen at any moment. And when you're confronted with life, you can either be cowardly or you can be brave. But either way, you're going to live, so you might as well be brave. We've already gone off about this, but carpe diem. Things happen, but you have to allow yourself to heal and then move on. Because life is always going to be really scary, but you're still going to keep living. So instead of living your life in fear, you have to just live your life expecting that bad things may happen, but allowing them to and staying hopeful. And then the last quote I have pulled up is, a person's a thing that is tricky to read, but it's trickier yet to feel read. I don't even have a tangent to go off on that. That's another one. That's on page 178. So pull your book out, 178.
Just go and read it and think about it.
Think about it. It's deep.
Oh, this one I have, and I think about how loving someone is kind of like being president, and that it doesn't change you, not really, but it brings out more of the you that you already are. And don't have much to say, because I feel like it says it pretty well. It brings out the more of the you that you already are. A good relationship should just accentuate what is already there. It shouldn't take away parts of you. It shouldn't necessarily, in a way, add parts to you. It should accentuate who you are and what's already there.
Yes.
Anyways.
Yes. All right.
Those are my quotes.
Okay. What are the main things the reader should take away? Carpe diem. I'm not even going to go on. Carpe diem.
Carpe diem.
Yep.
There's a lot of, there's just, like, so many different, like, little things that, like, that you get within each short story, but, again, I would say yes, just carpe diem. Don't let your past experiences define all of your future ones. Yeah.
Yeah, and you should take away whatever you need to take away at the end of the day.
So. Take away what speaks to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I think that's, like, a lot of the times, like, you're going to take away what you need to hear most.
Yeah. Who would we recommend this to and why? I would just recommend it. I think literally anyone.
Because everybody has relationships in their lives, not just romantic. It can be any relationship, like romantic, platonic, like family relationship. Yeah. It can be any. So I think it's just a good way to, like, it gets you thinking. It gets your brain thinking about the relationships you're having in life, and navigate and things to think about when relationships don't always go the way, which a lot of the times they don't always go the way that you want or imagine.
Yeah. Do you have any advice to give, or do you think we have already?
My just main advice would be, I mean, for, like, breakups and relationships and stuff, is to really, like, focus on your individuality, because, again, like, we are all our own individual people, and trying to live the best life that you, like, doing truly what makes you happy and living the best life for you, not for some image of, like, how you think you should look. The things you think you should be doing or whatever, just truly being genuine to yourself. And I think that's so important, because that, like, when you are, like, happy for just doing, like, the things that you genuinely like and being, like, real with yourself, like, that is such a rewarding, like, feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, do you have any advice?
My thing is just distractions is not equal healing, so instead of spending so much time trying to distract yourself when something goes wrong, you need to just let yourself feel, because it gets so much harder to feel those feelings later on. And I think it's easier to, like, allow, like, just let them happen, and then it will be less time before you're done with it.
Also, like, the negative experiences in life, there's always something to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the lesson is so stupid. Like, sometimes the lesson is just, like, okay, sometimes people suck. Like, sometimes people are just mean. Like, maybe that's the lesson.
Mm-hmm.
But just kind of look for lessons where you can, and look for negative experiences, like, again, just as lessons and as, like, character building, like, for you. Just think, like, if, like, you need to build your character, like, you are built, like, a chemical hole, like, not the necessarily statue thing, but just, like, you are built from your experiences. So, don't, like, you have some control over how you exit an experience, or what you, like, how an experience affects you. Like, you can, like, not always, but you have some control. Like, you can, so try to use that control to make sure an experience is benefiting you in the best way possible. So even negative experiences, you learn something from them. You are getting, like, just something. So that isn't just a negative experience for you.
Yeah. All right. You ready to end it off?
I think I'm pretty much done with my whole spiel.
Okay. Okay, readers. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you enjoyed this as much as we did. Join us on our next episode for a chat about another of our favorite reads.
Make sure to follow us at @onthesamepage_pod to stay updated on our podcast.
Bye. Bye.